It's a somber occasion, yet it's also Good Friday, isn't it? So good morning. My name's Steve. If this is your first time here, it's great to see the hall filled for Good Friday. We do have something very serious to remember, which is why, for those of you who are part of the church family, you're seeing me dressed up. One of my kids actually said, "Dad, why do you got a suit on?" For those of you here for the first time, this is as good as it gets. Because it is a somber occasion. The death of the Son of God. Now, church family, if you want to see me dressed up in a suit, it's at your funeral. That's about it. We are here to remember Jesus' funeral. It is Good Friday. I'm going to pray because God has a couple of simple but profound things to say to us this morning from that passage. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, you're the creator of heaven and earth. You're in control of all things right now. You're more amazing than our minds would ever be able to get their head around, our thoughts around. And so we pray now that as we think about the most serious thing that has ever happened, you would give us eyes to see, hearts to love, lives to worship you, our holy God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Morris DeWitt was a Santa worker in New York on Christmas 2001. That's the Christmas after the 9/11 terrorist attack. And Maurice, he noticed a change in parents. Parents would not let go of their children's hand. And Maurice's reflections are sobering. Now, he said, on the one hand, parents were telling their kids, "Here's Santa. You can trust him. Sit on his lap." But what parents were actually saying by clutching their children's hand is, "Here's Santa. Fear him." Now, just to be clear, Santa's not someone to be feared. This is my point. Good parents teach their children good from bad. And one of the ways they do that is teaching their children what to avoid, what to fear. On the first Good Friday, the Good Friday when Jesus died, he is teaching us what to fear. Actually, Jesus is teaching us what we must most fear. But, and this is why Good Friday is good, Jesus is also teaching us how we can avoid what we should most fear. And so Jesus is teaching us what we must most fear and how to avoid that fear through two short sentences. "I thirst and it is finished." Did you hear that in the Bible reading? "I thirst, it is finished." And so kids, at lunch today, you will be able to tell everyone after this sermon why on the cross Jesus said, "I thirst, it is finished." And so let's look at that first short sentence, "I thirst." Have you got your Bible open? John 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scriptures, "I thirst." Now, on the one hand, we can understand Jesus being thirsty on the cross. The cross was an evil form of torture. But for those of us that were here last Sunday, we also know that thirst has a double meaning in John's gospel. In John chapter 4, we hear Jesus having a conversation with a woman at a well. Jesus had just finished a long walk. It was the middle of the day. Jesus was thirsty. Along comes a woman to the well. She has a jug to draw some water out. Jesus asked for a drink. He was thirsty. But we also heard how Jesus quickly flipped that conversation from a conversation about physical water, physical thirst, to a conversation about spiritual thirst. A spiritual thirst we all have. A spiritual thirst only Jesus can satisfy. Now, here is why we all have a phone that rings. You're all distracted by it. I'll let you be distracted by it. Now, come back and attention to me. Here is why we all have a spiritual thirst. I'm going to give you one more short sentence to remember. This one's important to remember and say every day of our lives. We are made by God for God. We are made by God for God. And because we are made by God for God, spiritual thirst equals being separated from God. Physical thirst is being separated from drink, from water. Spiritual thirst is being separated from God. Now, this begs the question. On the cross, why did Jesus say, "I thirst"? I mean, there's nobody closer to God than Jesus. Now, verse 28 does tell us one of the reasons Jesus said, "I thirst," was to fulfill Scripture. And so we read Scripture. We go to our Old Testament. We see in Psalm 69, verse 21, that God prophesied the Messiah would be offered sour wine. But it still begs the question, why would God orchestrate history so that his loved son would thirst on the cross? Because God wants you and I to know what we must most fear. Our greatest fear should be spiritual thirst. Our greatest fear must be separation from God. There is nothing worse than to be separated from God. We are made by God for God. Jesus' thirst on the cross, it wasn't just a physical thirst. It was way worse than a physical thirst. It was way worse than a physical death. At the cross, our sin was put on Jesus. Our sin separated Jesus from his Father. At the cross, Jesus was being our representative. If you like, Jesus was being our big brother. He took our sin and he was punished by God. Brothers and sisters, there can never be, there will never be, there never has been a more horrific moment in the history than when God, the Heavenly Father, came and crushed his own son for our sin. It is a zillion times worse than dying of dehydration. They say to die of thirst is one of the worst deaths to die. Psalm 22, that tongue clutching to the roof of the mouth. Jesus' death on the cross was a zillion times worse than death by dehydration. Jesus said, "I thirst," because he was being punished by God for our sin. On the cross, Jesus thirsted. Jesus actually died of thirst, spiritual thirst, that is, so that we don't have to. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin deserves punishment by God, and Jesus took on our thirst. And so, kids, Jesus said, "I thirst," to show us what our greatest fear should be. Separation from God. Physical thirst is being separated from water. Spiritual thirst is being separated from God. Jesus thirsted on our behalf. And that brings us to the second sentence. It's another short one. It is finished. And this is why Good Friday is good. Have a look at verse 29. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. There are some things we're grateful for when they're finished. For instance, 120 hours with an L-plater. When the P-plate test is passed, it's all like, it is finished, hallelujah. But a mate was recently telling me about a time he was offered a job in a truck driving business. But my mate didn't have his truck driving license. This was back in the days when they didn't count up hours of driving. And so the company owner said to my mate, if you get your truck driver's license, I'll give you a job. 2 days later, Barry turned up with his truck driving license. It is finished has a different meaning in that context. It's not like, oh yeah, that's all behind me and forgotten. It's like, it's finished. It's completed. I've done it. I'm right to go. Friends, when Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, he wants you and I to know it's complete. It is finished. It's all done. Everything, absolutely everything, is right to go for you and I to come to Jesus for living water. We never need thirst. Jesus thirsted so that we don't have to. Jesus faced our greatest fear so we don't have to. Jesus died the death that we deserve so that we never, ever need to be separated from God. That is why Good Friday is good. Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus came to finish. Jesus wanted to finish. Jesus went to the cross. He wanted to go to the cross to die in our place so that we never, ever have to be separated from God. Is that good news? You guys are so lame. This is the best news in the whole world. That's why Dale was so excited with the hot cross bun, the cross and the spices. It's finished. It's finished. He's done it. And so, boys and girls, kids, why did Jesus say, "I thirst and it is finished," when he died on the cross? It's because he wants to take us by the hand and he wants to show us two very important truths. The first one is, what our greatest fear actually is. Our greatest fear is to be separated from God. We're made by God for God. We don't want to spend eternity in hell. And secondly, he takes us by the hand and he said, "It's finished. I've done it. I've completed it. I've died the death and you don't have to. I've thirsted so that you don't have to thirst." And he takes us by the hand, not to be separated from God, but to lead us into God's family forever. I thirst. It is finished. Two sentences, five words. They're amazing. It's what makes Good Friday good. It's why we must come to Jesus for living water. I'm going to pray. I'm going to collectively bring our sin before God. I'm going to thank God that his son finished the work of punishment for our sin. And then I'm going to read a couple of verses out of John chapter 4, and then we're going to eat and drink together. Let's pray. Father God, you are holy, holy, holy. You are perfect in all of your ways. Every thought, word, and deed, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, is right and good. And Father, we're not holy. We're sinful. We don't even live up to our own personal standards, let alone yours. And you have given us so many good things, and yet we have ignored and rebelled and sinned against you. And so, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask for the forgiveness of our sins. And we thank you and we praise you, Father, that as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on the very first Good Friday, you completely dealt with our sin. It is finished through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, in his name. Amen.